You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Tomorrow, filmmaker Jordan Peele's highly anticipated new horror movie, Us, is being released in theaters. The film's trailer has gotten a lot of attention, especially here in the Bay Area, because it features the song I Got Five on it. It was a hit back in the 90s for the Oakland group The Loonies, and that track has become a classic. But the man who sang the memorable hook has remained relatively unknown. Michael Marshall started making music in the mid-80s as a member of Berkeley's Timex Social Club, and then he went on to sing on countless Bay Area rap songs. Marshall tells his story to KALW's Beau Walsh in this edition of Bay Area Beats.
There's going to be a generation who's looking back at the history of Bay Area hip-hop music, and then somebody's going to stumble across me and be like, wait a minute, this Michael Marshall, is this the same guy as Mike Beasley? He's on hella shit. He's on a lot of songs. Who is this guy? What's the story? And when they start putting together, wait, that guy? Is that guy? Who did that?
Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair.
Hi, my name is Michael Marshall. I'm an R&B singer from the Bay Area, in particular Berkeley and the San Francisco area. In the 80s, I sang with the Timex Social Club. We did Rumors. 10 years after that, I sang for the Loonies. I did I Got Five on it. And since then, I've been doing solo projects under Michael Marshall, aka Mike Measy. I'm a farmer, and I work for hire. I sing hooks for people all over the world.
Summertime will be
As a youngster, my mother and grandmother were in the choir. And so I was a church kid. I was always there, right? And I was at rehearsal, so at an early age, I heard a lot of music and harmonies and gospel chords. As I got older, I got to sing in the children's choir, which got me used to singing with other voices. And then as I got older, I got into the adult choir, where I learned harmonies and blending, because I really like harmonies. And gospel harmonies are kind of unique, and my ear kind of was drawn to that.
With me,
after I got into high school, I started hearing Marvin Gaye and a guy named James Ingram. So I kind of patterned myself after that, in the sense of I would sing their songs over and over and over again, to the point where my natural vocal range and inflection and where I would want to go would be reminiscent of those two guys. But when I was in high school and I sang in the first talent show, the very first one was like in the eighth grade. And the only songs I really knew were gospel songs. So I sang a gospel song in a junior high talent show. So they threw batteries at me and they booed me. That didn't deter me. When I got to the high school the next year, I did a talent show again, but I chose a James Ingram song and I killed it. And from then on, everybody knew that I was a singer. And everybody knew who I was. More so than I knew everybody, a lot of more people knew me.
If she wants to pay, find 100 ways. You better believe it.
The Timex Social Club came together as a after school club in high school for DJs. We were mixologists, and there was five of us who hung together real tight. And one of the guys in that mixologist group's name was Marcus Thompson. And Marcus liked to write lyrics. So me and Marcus ended up living together after high school. And I was taking piano lessons at Laney College. And he wrote lyrics, and he had them all over the house. He would like constantly write. And then he wanted to do music, so he built a little sound booth where he had a mic hanging. And he would fool around with a four-track recorder. So one day I was there, and he had some lyrics. And it just so happened that I had a melody that I was playing in the piano class, which was based off of Michael McDonald's I Keep Forgetting, because I was in class trying to play that bass line. But doo 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 doo. So I took that home, and then Marcus had the lyrics, so he helped me make those lyrics fit what I was playing on the keyboard into this four track. And that's how we came up with Rumors. Once the song got out, the barrier wasn't planted for whatever reason. I mean, not for whatever reason. That's the politics here in the Bay. They're not going to play you unless you jump through some hoops or the rest of the world likes you. And that's what happened with Rumors. Rumors got in the hands of a lady named Terry Avery's at K-Day in Houston. She liked it, and she, quote-unquote, broke the record. And then it swung from the South all the way back to California. And now they're playing Rumors, and people don't really know that the group is from here, except for all the people who know us from Berkeley High. So that was a big deal. We played at the Coliseum with Run-DMC, Houdini, LL Cool J, and we opened up. And the place was packed, and we did our thing, and people loved it, and we felt like kings. One of the guys felt so much like a king, he went backstage, somebody pulled him to the side, and was like, we want to get you guys on the road with us, blah, 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 blah. He signed us up for 15 shows at $2,000 a night. And so we had to go on the road and do that. And the whole tweak about that is that $2,000 was supposed to cover our room and board and transportation and be our payment for our show. The business is, whoever has the hottest record is the headliner. Run Them were getting 60, Houdini was getting 30, and LL was getting 15,000 a night. We got two, and they had buses. So we had a little van. We had to drive from every state for 3 months for these 15 shows. Now, what a lot of people were saying back then was, you should be happy that you're on that tour. You guys are new. But that tour, it was fun until it wasn't. It was stressful. I remember having an actual growth growing on my face because I was kind of stressed out. And then I was ready to get back home. Then when we got back home and after all the cost and everything, and we each got about $1,500. So that was like $100 a show for each one of us. That left a bad taste in my mouth. After Timex and it started to die down, I was working with a guy named Tone Capone. He knew me from high school, from Berkeley High. He always had rappers from around the Bay who he was working with. So he would have those people coming through and I was looking to make money. So Tone started working with me and I could do some hooks for some people and get paid. When he started working with the Loonies, Tone called me over at Pacifica. He said, these kids want to cover this song. And Club Nouveau had stole my melodies and used one of them for a song called Why You Treat Me So Bad. Why You Treat Me So Bad is the same music, not lyrics, but music and melody as a song I wrote called Thinking About You. So Tone called me over and he said, they want to redo that song. Why don't you play it and then you sing the hook so that you can get some publishing off of that Why You Treat Me So Bad that they're not giving you. So when he started working with the Loonies, with Yuck and Numb, I was there and they have a hook idea, but the cadence of it wasn't matching the time. And it basically is, I got five on it, grab your 4-0, let's get key. I got five on it, messing with that Mendel wheat. I got five on it, it's got me stuck and I'm toe back. I got five on it, player, let's go half on a sack. Most of those lyrics are the Loonies, but the melody and the style is mine. So I took some liberties and I might have asked them if I could, and I try to clean it up and make it flow a little smoother. I told them when we were doing it after I finished doing my part and they listening to it and all, I was like, this is a hit. That particular melody over that music melody and the theme, I got five on it, because everybody's smoking weed, and what they basically saying is, we want to get high, but we need like five guys because it's going to cost us $20 to get this gram of wheat. So if everybody got five, we can get a gram. So we need four people at least. And that's how people was living back then, pretty much. You'd have to come together to pool your money to get some wheat. And that's how people would do it. So they identified with that song. And it was another way of saying smoke weed without saying smoke weed. I got five on it? He said, I got five on the time? That kind of thing. It would just turn into a thing, a whole movement. And one night we were listening to Cameo and they played it. And I was like, wow, it's on. It's about to take off. This could be the correction that I wanted. But it turns out gangsters will be gangsters. They don't really know business. I told them what we needed to do. I told them that Why You Treat Me So Bad, the song they sampled, was actually from Mines. We can copyright this song and say that it was an original melody from this. We don't have to pay these people. They didn't listen to me, and they didn't give me my percentages like they promised they would do. So I got a lawyer and got my 10% that I split with Tom Capone. So it's good, but it's not life-changing like all of those got to experience. I was in a crack house one time, and a guy came in, and he was singing I Got Five on it. So then the lady who was there, she's like, you know, that's the dude that sang it. And at the moment, I was like, oh, no, I don't want him to see me in here like this and be like, oh, the guy who sing I Got Five on it. No, but at the same time, it's like, no, that's me. I did that because he don't know who it is. Now he will know who it is. Regardless of what he think about me, just know that guy did that. I'm not the first person to be battling drugs while having a successful music career. But I don't want people to think that my music career was stalled or halted because of something I did while high. After I did my work and what I was supposed to do in my free time, that's what I went and did. So now I turned it to 2 or 3 days, but those 2 or 3 days were not work days. There was nothing that I needed to do. When I did the I Got Five on it, the day that I came over to write that song, I'm sure 2 or 3 days before that I had gotten high. It was just what I was doing. I was trying to not hurt somebody. I mean, it's crazy, but I started hurting myself. Once I got clean and sober, I wanted to get away from the Bay Area, you know, because in a sense, I was feeling like I had pretty much gotten high or was looking for drugs in pretty much all the places in the Bay Area that I would need to be at. And I didn't want to be here with those kind of memories. So I ran for cover in the trees. When I got married, I started doing trim work up north, 1 week off, 1 week on. Because I married into two stepkids, and they would be there 1 week and 1 week off. So it was working, and that paid for, you know, school and college and everything, food and everything. We did good off me going up north and getting into the weed industry as far as a worker. But that turned into a sharecropper thing, where I was learning it and then I was doing it, which turned into me getting my own place, which turns into what I'm doing now. It's just a full-on marijuana farmer. I'm the old man that's got a grudge, chip on his shoulder. My whole life is fighting to get my money back and to get my credit and recognition. And still to this day, people don't know who I am. Still to this day. But they listen and dance and party and write based on stuff that I've done in my 50 years here. So I just do it for the love and hoping that one day one of them will catch. And if I'm not here, I got the business part all down. So I'm going to do what I do. But just getting my due before I die. I'd just like to hear that one time before I die. It's a real bad business, but there are positive parts and positive memories, but most of it is really, really ugly. The positive part is the music and me singing and listening to it later and that kind of thing, but all the other stuff, whack.
That was singer Michael Marshall. His latest album, Grown and Sexy, is available now. That story was produced by KELW's Beau Walsh. And don't forget, you can hear more Bay Area Beats if you just subscribe to the Cross Currents podcast. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.